Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Remember, a little bit later, Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, joins us at 9. Wilson on the second preseason game. But we're hanging out with Tony Dungy. He has a couple new children's books out. He doesn't even know how many books he's written, 17 or 18. But the latest are children's books, Austin Plays Fair and Maria Finds Courage. I think we basically said we're going to talk about 10 different things here in like 15 minutes. I don't know how we're going to cover it all.
I just want to get his take on the thing I kind of teased before we went to break on the Jalen Ramsey, who's a complete stud. All right. I don't know where you would rank him at his position.
He's very good.
But I'd say maybe top five, if not better. But he's a loudmouth, and he's an attention grabber, and, you know, he's cocky. And he did this interview with GQ, and they were asking about quarterbacks, and he basically trashed, you know, 80% of them. First of all, give me your response to that, and then how would you deal with a player who did an outside interview and talked badly about some quarterbacks?
Well, the first thing, and I always told our players, I'm going to encourage you to speak to the press, and we're not going to put a muzzle on you. That's something you have to learn how to do that. And the better we get, the more you're going to be asked to be interviewed. So, number one, expressing your opinion is great. But here's some of the ground rules you have to have for the team. Okay? It's got to be positive. Don't do anything that's going to be negative for the team. Don't do anything that is going to make it tougher for us. Mm. So, and represent the team and the city well. So I'd call him in and say, now, Jalen, do you think this interview did those things?
Right.
And right. You've got to understand, it's not just you. When you talk, you're speaking for the Jaguars. You're speaking for the city of Jacksonville. You're speaking for the other 52 guys. So you have to be careful and don't get sucked into – you don't have to tell your opinion on everything.
Do you believe in bulletin board material? We've talked about this. I don't really believe in it because I'm saying, like, here he says something about Ben Roethlisberger. I forget exactly what he said, but he's like, Ben, he's decent. Okay, Ben Roethlisberger's a Hall of Fame quarterback. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's won Super Bowls. But he says something like he's decent. I don't believe that Ben Roethlisberger's going to be more motivated.
Oh, we've got
to
beat the Jaguars now because Jalen Ramsey's. Yeah. You don't even think about that. I never put up anything, this team said this thing right. Thinks that. Coach Noel taught me that. Hey, we have to be concerned about what we do. Joe Green tells the story. It was before I got there, but it's vintage Coach Noel. One of our grounds crew people found a playbook. And big game. We're getting ready to play a big game where you play teams twice a year.
Sure.
And so he brought the playbook to Coach Noel. Coach put it in the trash can. He said, wow. We're not concerned about what they do. Hmm. We only have to be concerned about what we do. And I think that's the way true professionals view it. So, hey, this person said this. They think that. It doesn't really come into play.
Well, Coach Noel knew they were good enough. They didn't need that part of the team playbook. Unless they were playing Dallas, maybe. They didn't need that.
Hey, Coach, give me your take on the Redskins this year. What can we look forward to? Kind of a pivotal year for Jay Gruden.
It is. And, you know, I didn't like to see that injury
to Geis.
You know, that hurts. But the Redskins, I think, are going to be very good on offense. I've always liked Alex Smith. I think he's a tremendous quarterback.
You think it's an upgrade over Kirk?
Well, I don't know about upgrade, but, you know, the one thing Alex Smith is going to do, he's going to put people in position to succeed. He's accurate. He's on the details. He's not going to turn the ball over. He's a great leader. So they're in good hands at that position, whether he's better than Kirk or how that plays out. He's a good enough quarterback to take them to the Super Bowl. I think they've got some offensive weaponry that's going to be very, very good. And to me, it's can this defense come up with the big plays they need to win? I think the offense is going to play
well.
Great.
They've been drafting guys from Alabama left and right.
That's a good start. Formula. Yeah, that's a good start.
Well, do you think that there's pressure on Gruden? this year?
Oh, yeah, there's every year.
I mean, do you think, I mean, how hot is his seat right now?
You know, I don't know that. And to me, you know, ownership, there's too much pressure all the time. We got to win this year or else. Yeah. I mean, that was me in Tampa. Oh, we went to the championship game. We've been in the playoffs, but we haven't won. So we got to make a change. And was it good? Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl the next year. You know, but that's the way football is now. Unless you're, you know, one of those two or three franchises that you've been there, every year is a pressure year.
Yeah. Do you think that this is kind of the last hurrah for Brady and Belichick? Do you get that vibe? Or do you still think that, you know what, they're still going to be strong 3-4 years down the road?
I think it all depends on Tom and his motivation to continue to play. Physically, he can still do it. Obviously, he's sharp. He played at an MVP level last year. He'll play at an MVP level this year. So unless he has a catastrophic injury, I think he could go 2 or 3 more. But do you want to?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to revisit the Jalen Ramsey thing and bring up Tony Dungy's top 5 quarterback list. Or I don't know if it was a top 5 quarterback list, but you caught some heat on that. Now, you're not a player at the time, and you're being asked as a guy who's coached defenses and a former coach of your top 5 players, but I don't have the list in front of me. If I recall, you didn't have Tom Brady that
right.
high up
and,
on the top
people,
5 list.
And what,
and people attacked you.
Yeah, they went crazy. And I said, first of all, you got to just understand this is my opinion. This is
right.
no formula or anything. And I told
so
the guy from
criteria?
The beginning.
This is top 5 all time?
Was that you put different quarterbacks in different systems, they're going to function differently. So you can't measure one guy against another. I said, for me, mobile quarterbacks were always the most problematic. So John Elway is going to be at the top of my list of guys who gave me problems.
But you had Peyton in your top 5.
I did, and Tom Brady was 6. So I had Peyton 5, Tom Brady 6. I had John Elway. I had, can't think off the top of my head, Aaron Rodgers, you mm-hmm. know, because those are the guys who were difficult for me. Mm. And if a guy, Dan Marino, who sat in the pocket, as great as he was, I knew if we could get pressure with 4 guys, you know, we can disrupt him. But with John Elway, you could get pressure, disrupt him, and he still scramble out.
All right, I'm pulling up your list here, Coach. I want to give you your list.
Where'd you have Steve Young?
He had number 3.
Yeah.
Oh, you had Steve Young 3.
For me.
For you.
The guys that I had to defend.
Elway 1. He had Rodgers 2. He had Young 3. He had Marino 4. Manning 5, Brady 6. And that made people crazy?
Oh, people went ballistic.
I mean,
how could you not
that?
Have Tom Brady number 1?
Yeah.
Right.
He's got 6 Super Bowls.
You see, and I always thought, look, I was a Colts fan. When my father first came to this country, he ended up in Baltimore, and I became a Colts fan. And I stuck with them when they went to Indy, even during the Mike Pagel years. Even though I was here, I stuck with the Colts. And then when Peyton came there, I knew that it was amazing. But I always said, you know, if Peyton was on those New England teams, he would have won Super Bowls.
I'm not
degrading what Brady accomplished, but if you put some of those guys on those New England Patriots teams, they'd have 4 and 5 Super Bowl rings too.
Exact thing. Troy Aikman has 3 Super Bowl rings. Had Jimmy Johnson stayed there, he probably would have had 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Aikman was a great player. Okay. And so to say, well, this
he didn't make
got,
you top 6 though, Coach.
No, and you know, but
hard.
I only
it's
had
hard to whittle it down.
He had a great defense. He had
Emmitt
Smith.
Started out by saying, based on people I had to defend, and Peyton I never had to defend, so I put him in at 5. If I had to defend him, I might have a different view.
Hold on, what was your record against Brady when you were with Indy? Do you remember what your record was against
about
him?
About
500. Yeah.
Let me ask you about this as a head coach with Peyton Manning. Like the legend about him is he ran your offensive practices. What was it like with somebody that was, I think in a great way, so neurotic about his sport and preparing? I know there was like one infamous picture where he had his helmet on and he was in a hot tub rehabbing, and he had like a laptop looking through some
watching
plays.
Practice
right.
when he's in the ice tub. Peyton was the best in terms of that, in terms of wanting to be prepared and being on top of things and on the details. And people get the idea that he ran the practice because we had so much no huddle and he's orchestrating everything. But he's listening to
right.
Tom Moore through the headset and he's getting instruction. Tom Moore ran the practice.
Sure.
But Peyton is on the field doing it. So, but I've never been around a guy who knew as much about the game and about what was going on. And he would come in every Tuesday, which was supposed to be the players' day off and game planning, he'd come in on Tuesday with a yellow legal pad with 500 things that he wanted to do, he'd show Tom, and then Tom would whittle it down.
Did he have almost like a photographic memory, like recall? Because I know there was a piece, I don't know if it was 60 Minutes, there was a piece about Sean McVay, that Sean McVay can remember a second down play, just pick week three, second down, second quarter, he'll remember the exact play that he ran, just boom, right off the top of his head.
1997. Peyton was the college player of the year. I was the NFC coach of the year. We're at a banquet in Philadelphia, and we happened to ride in the limo together, my wife and I, Peyton and his mom and dad, to the banquet. And 5 years later, 2002, I get the head coaching job at Indy, and I say hi to him. I said, you might not remember this. We're at the, you know, he wrote everything, my wife's name, my kids' names, the hotel we stayed at, the hotel the banquet was, who was the featured speaker, went down everything 5 years later. And I said, we might have something special here.
What year was it that Vanderjagt missed the chip shot layup?
That was
that was against Pittsburgh, wasn't it?
Against Pittsburgh in the 2005 championship.
Could you even believe what you were saying?
No, Mike had never missed a big
kick. He was solid. Money.
Never missed a big kick for us. Crazy thing, we're down 3 points. They've got the ball. They made a first down at the 4-yard line. They're running out the clock. And I told Gary Brackett, we took our last time out and said, hey, the only chance we got is to knock a ball loose. Brackett puts his helmet on the ball. Jerome Bettis fumbles. Looks like we're going to run it back for a touchdown and win the game. Roethlisberger lays out and just makes a tackle.
I remember that.
And
right.
then
remember
Mike
that.
Missed the kick. And we were all just shocked, you know. He never misses big kicks.
How far was that? I can't remember.
It was 40, 41 yards.
Was it?
Yeah.
But for him, that's a layup.
Yeah, indoors, you know, just no thought he was going to miss.
I always felt like Peyton got whored a little bit on, you know, he ended up winning 2 Super Bowls. But is it his fault that the Ravens have, like, an incredible comeback? And you know.
It happens. Yeah. No, you're right.
A safety misplays the ball.
I feel like Brady's gotten hooked for a couple. Right, you had the Seattle play there, right, and then you had the comeback.
Yeah, Atlanta. If they just run the ball three times
Atlanta
and
just
kick a
their
field
play
goal,
calling's better.
The game's over.
Yeah, but he was down 25 points. I mean,
he
played fantastic.
He's
but
great,
he should have probably
still,
never
he's
had
been
the
beneficiary
shot
of a couple. That
well,
maybe
then he might say, "Well, I was also
by
David Tyree."
Absolutely, and that's the crazy thing of it. You know, the tuck rule.
So close.
You know, if there's no tuck rule, they don't win that one, but if David Tyree doesn't come in, they win that one. So it's, you know, you can't, that's why you can't say, well, this guy has 6 Super Bowls, so he's the best in the world. This guy doesn't have any Super Bowls, so he's terrible.
How old were you when you finally retired?
Retired from coaching?
Yeah. Early 50s?
52, 53.
Because your last year in Indy, you guys went 12-4. And you lost to who did you lose to?
We lost to
San Diego.
Okay. Playoff.
Did you know after that season, you know what, I'm just done, or did you feel
I kind of knew before. I actually talked to Jim Irsay the year we won the Super Bowl in 06, and I said, I think this is it. I was going to retire at that time. You know, it'd be nice to go out on top. Bill Cowher called me and said, you know, hey, you need to have a year as the defending champion. There's nothing like it.
Uh-huh.
And so I decided to come back 07, and we came close again, 13 of wins maybe. And then 08, we were opening the new stadium. And Jim Irsay said, if you'll be here for the new stadium opening, that would be poetic. And so I kind of knew going into that season.
So you were feeling for a couple of years, you were ready to
Why?
Go.
Was it you were burnt out?
No, just, you know, I'd coached 25,
you
26 years at the time, had different things to do. My son was playing at University of Oregon at that time. And, you know, it was just.
Now you're talking head like us.
Yeah.
And DC, you told us you're going to be doing the last week of preseason and then opening game, you've got Atlanta against the Eagles, which is awesome. Yeah. We were talking about this. Carson Wentz, the last few days, I think, said, you know, he feels like he's good to go, but they're not sure what to do with him. What would you do with him as a head coach? I mean, Nick Foles just won the Super Bowl, so my guess is you play conservative.
I would be very cautious and go with my doctors, and what I see on the field is he absolutely ready to go. I don't need to have him there week one, week two, if he's not 100%, because I know I've got a guy I can count on. Mm.
Coach, it's a pleasure having you.
It was
here.
An awesome hour.
Yeah,
it really
thank
was.
You so much.
Fun. Where are you off to next?
Headed to...
You're doing some TV?
CIA headquarters.
Oh, really?
Nice.
With James Brown.
Yes. Oh, okay. That's today.
Yep.
That's awesome. Tell JB the Junkie said hello.
I will do that.
Yeah, definitely do that. Definitely do that.
All right, in the books, Austin Plays Fair. That's the football book, which is based on Spygate. My theory. And Maria Finds Courage. You can get them everywhere. Tony Dungy, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Coach. Coming right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Opening weekend of NFL, by the way.
So it'll be here before
we're
going to
be
it.
Hanging out Thursday night, then Friday, September 7th. We hit the Poke Room, MGM National Harbor. It's all presented by Potomac Metals. Get complete details on this year's tournament at junkiespokeropen.com.
We'll be watching Tony Dungy that night.
Yeah.
Doing the pregame.
An awesome interview, I think.
He's such a good guy.
With Tony Dungy. If you want to chime in, it's open line Thursday.
He's exactly how I thought he would be.
Yep. Yeah, if you want to chime in, it is open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Listener Lines. Talk about whatever you want, your reaction to that interview. As I looked around the studio just a minute before we signed back on, I noticed a couple pictures, which made me think of the upset of all upsets. We didn't ask Tony Dungy to break down film of our Turkey Bowl.
I don't think he'd have any interest.
I was just so impressed by him. And what a gentle guy, but such an accomplished guy. And it really does reinforce the notion that you don't have to be a screaming lunatic to be an achiever, to win Super Bowls.
I can't even remember if it was on air or off air. I don't think we got him to tell the story on air.
I think it was off air.
But you wanted him to tell the story on air, which he told us during a break, I guess.
Yeah. He addressed his players. I think it was right when he got the job in Tampa. And remember, this is on the heels of not getting the job at another spot. He told us where it was during a break, but we won't break that confidence. But when the owner said, you know, he told him, look, I'm a Christian. I'm not gonna curse the guys. I'm not going to motivate that way. That's not how I do it. And he goes, well, that's just not going to work. Right. I don't see how that's going to work. And didn't hire him. When he got the job in Tampa, and he told Glazer how he was going to do it, and Glazer said, well, that's fine. I've seen your track record. I know that you've been successful. He addressed the players, and he said, how many of you guys need me to stand up here and curse at you and yell at you to motivate you? If you need that, raise your hand. Not one guy raised their hand.
And he also said, if you need that, raise your hand, and I'll trade you.
Is that what he said, the second part?
I think he said that.
I didn't even catch that part. But I don't know, man. It's good.
But he did admit, look, there's definitely different ways
to do
it. You
got to be true to yourself.
And there are a lot of coaches with different styles in the NFL who've been successful. You know, you mentioned Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson seems to be a totally different type of personality.
But you don't have to denigrate a guy.
Right.
You could be a rah-rah, fiery guy.
That's a word, like in the Maryland scandal, that jumped out at me is humiliation.
Yeah, you don't have to humiliate a guy to motivate him and to be fiery.
The candy bar incident, you could say it's silly, but that candy bar thing, you're belittling a guy so bad that he's out of shape, that you're forcing him to eat candy bars.
Oh, okay, if that's the way it happens.
If that is the way it happens.
There's two sides to everything.
But still, just the general sense of you can motivate a guy and get in a guy's face without calling him the P word.
Yes.
You can.
Sure.
You just can.
Sure. I mean, it brings me back to Hard Knocks, and you haven't seen the second episode, but there are some scenes where Greg Williams is literally...
he's a maniac.
He's just pissed off that, you know, the defense wasn't hustling back to the huddle, and I get it. I mean, that's what you want in training camp. You want your teams to hustle. But the way he relays the message, you know, some guys might not respond to that.
Well, I think Greg Williams is a douche.
He's on the other end of the spectrum. He's bounty gate guy.
That's fine. Yeah. True. Yeah. And maybe willing to do anything to win. I'm just saying some guys don't respond to that. So don't be surprised if defense doesn't play as well this year.
Don't respond to Greg Williams?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Todd Haley, kind of the same way. Different type. He's not really yeller or screamer, but still kind of denigrates.
Did he tell the Keyshawn Johnson story on air when you asked him about Keyshawn?
I believe so.
Or was that off air? We can't remember.
We literally did not stop talking to him. So
he's such a nice guy.
When we would end off air, and we have about six and a half minutes.
Which, by the way, we usually never talk to anybody.
Yeah,
off air.
Just kept going, telling us great stories of like when he played college.
So JP asked him, "Do you remember the Keyshawn story or no?"
Was it about how he always wanted the ball?
No,
no.
Keyshawn said differently.
Keyshawn just said, "I would never curse at you." He said, "I cursed at Bill Belichick. I cursed at Jimmy Johnson, Parcells. I cursed." He said, "Coach, I would never." And you know how my nature. I would never speak to you that way.
Because of the way he treated Keyshawn. Yeah.
You know, mutual respect. He said, now we would sit in the office and I would tell you what I think, but I would never curse at you on the sideline the way I did Belichick, the way I did Parcells, the way I did these other guys.
Do unto my brother, right? Isn't that the, I don't want to get very religious. Do unto my brother.
Yeah, I guess.
That philosophy.
That's just the way he was raised.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I get sized
impressive
for
man.
I get
correct me if I'm wrong, but with the Hard Knocks, sorry to go back to Hard Knocks, but correct me if I'm wrong. Did Hard Knocks always have the cussing in it? Did they bleep that out?
No, they always had the cussing.
That was one of the big appeals, one of the attractions.
Even from the first season.
Oh yeah.
Man, it's been so long since I watched because there's a lot of cussing in this particular season.
I agree partly with what Tony Dungy said. Look, he doesn't watch the show. And why would he? He was an NFL coach. He played. Yeah. He's been through it.
But he's right. He knows what they're looking for.
I agree that they edit and they look for those things, but they haven't just chosen coaches who are, you know, Greg Williams-like because they've had, who was the guy in, I think in Minnesota, they had, didn't they do?
In Miami, that guy was real.
Did they have Zimmer?
Yeah, Jay Philbin.
No, it wasn't Jay Philbin. It was
his name.
Whatever his name was. I think it was Philbin. Joe Philbin. Yeah, Joe Philbin was almost like Dungy, real quiet, reserved
guy. They've had different
types. But they focused on the offensive line coach, who was a maniac.
Right, which goes back to the editing.
Yeah.
Well, every coaching staff's going to have someone like that. So you're always going to be able to find something like that.
Yeah, so yesterday they had kind of a press day at the University of Maryland where Canada kind of showed how they've changed the practices.
I mean, now it's a country club over there now.
But then
they got cooling stations. They got water for everybody.
He actually pointed out, we got Gatorade over here.
There were more kids, you know, students with the Gatorade bottles running around the field than there were players.
I mean, that was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
I mean, they had 100 of them.
I mean, maybe that's the way it should be. You know, it's definitely progress. I mean, you know. Kids need to be hydrated. That's like number one. But man, that's funny. You want to talk about a stark contrast? Those kids got to be shell shocked. They got to be like, "What?" Now the question is that how it's going to be? You know, a week from now when there are no cameras there, I'm sure it will. But man, what a 180!
Well, that's the first thing that jumped out at everybody.
that was just unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to hear some of Matt talking about it?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure.
We'll have two breaks. We've got two tents set up, two cooling tents. We have water, Gatorade, snacks in the breaks, all those things. And I think our practices have been extreme.
Orange slices. Do they have those silly Auntie Anne's gummy bears? Those are awesome.
Right.
Our practices have been extremely crisp. The focus of our players' health and safety is number one. And our players are feeling that and understanding that, and that's our primary focus.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
The rest of the Big Ten.
What are the chances Durkin have tents out there with clip bars?
He's got to be going, you know what? I don't even want this job.
It's more luxurious than Riverbend.
I mean, are you kidding? Play that one more time. That's just hysterical to me. It's too bad it takes a freaking tragedy to get there, but listen to this.
We'll have two breaks. We've got two tents set up, two cooling tents. We have water, Gatorade. Snacks in the breaks, all those things. I think our practices have been extremely crisp. The focus of our players' health and safety is number one, and our players are feeling that and understanding that, and that's our primary focus.
Man, that's what you got to do to keep your job right now. So they're going to go from that back to DJ? I don't see it happening.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, but
I don't see it happening.
I guess Maryland's having some sort of a Board of Regents special meeting closed. I guess it's a conference call, but some special meeting to talk about
everything,
the investigation.
How to go forward.
Yeah,
and he put that commission together that Lowe talked about.
Do you want to hear Matt talking about the culture?
Yeah,
yeah.
Our culture right now is great. Our culture right now is awesome. Our kids are excited to practice, excited to play. They're loving each other.
At times, are we grieving for Jordan? We are. But our culture right now is really, really good. And our staff is working to continue to make it better.
It'd be a great story if they pulled off an upset against Texas.
Yeah.
What if they go on a little run?
It'd be awesome.
And the whole, you know, everybody's getting Twinkies and snacks, and that just completely turned the football world upside down.
Are they gonna? They're gonna start doing those tunnels afterwards, where everyone puts their hands up.
Yeah, they all can run through. The losing team could go through it too. Yeah.
Like my daughters did in house league.
Soccer teams love that. The best was they go through it twice,
like oranges at halftime. Orange slices.
Yeah.
They do the tunnel. What else do they do with the little kids?
Participation trophies too.
Yeah, give everybody a sticker for just playing. Put it on their helmet.
But you're right to have to open up with Texas. Texas is going to be better than they were even last year. Their defense,
and they're not going to take Maryland for granted.
Who's coaching Texas now?
Their defense is
Tom
Herman, who was at Ohio State. But their defense is going to be really good. They've got a couple young quarterbacks. Now the game's here. It's not in College Park though, is it? At FedEx?
No, it's at FedEx.
Yeah. Are you going to that game?
Probably not.
Oh, really? Why are you out on Terps?
You're not doing the whole tailgate weekend thing every.
We do, but it's more convenient to just do it at University of Maryland than to have to go all the way to FedEx and then traffic going in and out.
Yeah.
So
problem with Terps is they got to play Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, and Ohio State.
Yeah.
And Texas.
It's always going to be the problem.
It's always the problem. So. You look at their schedule and go, all right, well, they got Rutgers at home. They got Illinois at home. They got Minnesota at home. They got Temple. They got Bowling Green, who's probably going to suck.
You have to win all those to be bowl eligible.
Right, and then you've got to pull off one of the big four or beat Texas to get to that sixth. So it's going to be difficult. See how good Kasim Hill is.
See if he can stay healthy.
Stay healthy, right.
I'd forgotten because both guys tore their ACLs. Mm-hmm. Was Hill the starter over Piggy?
No, Piggy started the season.
Piggy started the season,
looked pretty good.
Right. And then they
why is the assumption that Kasim's going to be the guy?
He's just another next level talent.
I think he just proved that he was better.
Piggy's just a little guy, great athlete, good strong arm, but not accurate.
I'm not disagreeing with
Kasim
you.
Kasim Hill's just a better.
If it was open competition, I mean.
Because Kasim Hill is a higher rated player, bottom line.
He's just a better player.
Kasim can.
So why wasn't he the starter?
Because he was a true freshman. Piggy had had some success his freshman year. Piggy's a great athlete, got a strong arm, but not as accurate.
Piggy was in the system, was at Maryland like a whole semester before Hill was, right?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Almost positive.
A year
he
before.
Was. Almost positive he was there before.
They weren't both freshmen last year.
No. But he was there.
Yes, he was there.
He was there a year and a semester longer.
Pigram is a redshirt sophomore, and Hill is a redshirt freshman.
Right.
So he was there a full year, probably a full year ahead of time.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. No, it'll be interesting. When is that game? What's the date on that?
September 1.
It's good. You know what? Good reason to follow Maryland.
Oh,
now I have more interest.
Absolutely.
Even more interest to see how these kids can respond.
I mean, they've got some talent. Offense. They got some pretty good running backs.
Well, they have the snacks there during the games.
Don't they have McFarland from DeMatha? Don't they have the Anthony McFarland kid from DeMatha?
McFarland, yeah.
I mean, and they've got Harrison from DeMatha. They got some good.
Well, Durkin's recruited well.
Absolutely. Ty Johnson, got some good receivers. It seems like the Jacobs kid's been there 10 years. I know they had a couple of them. There was two brothers, but it seems like he's been there forever. So it'll be interesting to see what Maryland does out of the gate against Texas.
All right, it is Open Line Thursday. Phone number is 800-636-1067. One thing we could throw out there, we're going to talk to Craig Hoffman, a Redskins beat reporter at 9. What do you want to see tonight in the preseason game? Like, a lot of people are now afraid of playing anybody because – Geis tears his ACL. How much do you want to see it, of Alex Smith and Josh Doctson and Jordan
Reed? Well, as a fan,
Reed,
you'd like to see as
guys.
Much as you can. But, you know, is it worth it if on the fifth carry, a guy goes out with a torn ACL?
Well, maybe there's a reason why Jay Gruden's 0-4 in openers.
Yeah.
Maybe they got to do something different to get themselves ready to get a win in week one. Well,
maybe he's 0-4 in openers because his team hadn't been very good.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. Probably the biggest reason.
Phone number is 800-636-1067, so you can certainly chime in on the Redskins, their preseason game. Of course, the Nationals lost again last night. It's pretty much over for them. We were talking about the role of Davey Martinez and how much he's a factor as to why this team has struggled. Dusty Baker won 97 games with them last year. Had a lot of criticism of Dusty Baker for 2 years of his decision making, but they won in the 90s, made the playoffs both years. This year, it's not looking good for the Nationals. So if you want to chime in on that, you can. Open line Thursday here on the Junkies on the Fan.
I got a weird hankering for a donut. You know, I don't think Pete's here because he's, you know, he's working with Grant all week. But if Pete came in with a box of donuts,
we wouldn't hate it.
I would crush probably six of them.
Yeah. I'm hungry.
Since I went on vacation, and it always happens to me every year, because I figure it's vacation, so I just punt. I've just been on a terrible eating tear. Just eating anything, sweet, carbs, doesn't matter.
Here's the thing about carbs.
Crushing beers.
I said this when I got back from Italy. So in Italy, eat nothing but carbs, pasta, pizza, and everything right. like that. And I thought that my weight would be up. Wasn't.
Yeah, it takes time.
And here's the thing, but it'll happen. They eat nothing but carbs over there. They're all skinny.
Somehow they're doing it in moderation. You eat what you ate in Italy for the next 3 weeks. Do that same diet. You're going to gain weight.
I wish I could.
You're going to gain weight.
Over there. The problem is over here, I'll eat too much Mickey D's and stuff.
I made a spectacular turkey burger last night on the grill. It was fat, about 3 inches thick, juicy.
Did you get it cooked just right?
Not overcooked?
I bet yours was probably overcooked.
No, I made it. It was money.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to cook. It's really hard to cook on a grill.
Money on the grill.
Yeah, it's really
hard.
And
then I had baked beans and an arugula salad. Right. Oh, man, it was good.
I just get ice to eat.
So, me too.
Eating is so silly.
And you know how hungry I am right now? I've been up since 4. So, I'm going, you know, almost 5 hours.
Let's just talk
so
about
food. I haven't eaten since last night. That was at 4:45. I ate dinner last night at like 4:45.
Uh-huh.
Almost 5 o'clock.
Right.
So what's that? 12?
Did you have 15 a hours. Last night?
That's like 15 hours.
Right.
I haven't eaten.
Well, that's actually, so you're kind of, do you do like a little mini fast each day?
Yeah, but that's not good. I don't think it's good to do 15 hours without eating.
And say it's not good for you, like long-term health, but it's good for like keeping your weight silly.
But aren't you supposed to have a decent breakfast to kind of keep your
that's
energetic?
Old school.
Why
that's
no
old
breakfast
school.
Today? You usually bring something in.
Just because there was nothing really at the house. And I mean,
a lot of people keep their weight down doing what you do. They go on these little mini fasts every day.
Well, I just want to eat something now.
Yeah. Well, I'm sized to eat like a box of donuts.
I would love a breakfast sandwich.
Pete's listening as he's driving in.
Are you going to pay him back? Like Pete buys you a box of donuts. He drives by a Krispy Kreme, brings in
$35.
We chip in.
I'd actually like a breakfast sandwich.
Let's not get crazy.
I want to choose the breakfast sandwich over the donuts.
I actually want donuts. I want something.
You're crazy.
You know what I want?
You're putting an order out there.
I want it for Pete. Hey, can I get a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit? Or maybe a croissant?
But Pete normally, I mean, I don't know. Every once in a while, Pete's like in it. Because sometimes Pete comes in here, he's pissed off. And when Happy Pete comes in, he'll bring some boxes.
Pete's jolly this week.
No, he's so happy this week because he's doing 4 hours.
Yeah, he's doing 4 hour shows, doing middays.
This is heaven for him.
Well, if Happy Pete.
Pete interviewed Alex Smith two days ago. Yeah. It was all Seist.
If Happy Pete is still happy, Seist from
the He's so happy he doesn't have to give the word of the day, whatever, they, whatever
the,
that is.
The cash flash.
Cash flash. He's so happy not to do that.
Right.
Word of the day.
Where does Pete get those donuts? Those box of sillies? Does he get them
Which
like at Whole Foods or something?
No, he gets it from a fancy donut spot. I can't remember the name
of
it.
Like the
spot.
One with the sprinkles?
I don't know. Maybe they're like a dozen of sillies.
It's in a yellow box?
I don't know. It's a big box.
It's like those are Shoppers.
Oh, I think he goes to Shoppers.
No, but sometimes he brings them. It's a really like an upper end. It's not Dunkin'. It's not Krispy Kreme.
I thought for Krispy Kreme
like
Donut
Shack.
Day or something. Did we ever get donuts on Krispy Kreme Day or Donut Day?
No.
We were really desperate for some donuts.
I got a hankering.
Do you have a Krispy Kreme drive-thru nearby? I have one like
I don't even
half
know.
A mile away from where I live.
There's one kind of over near like hurting Aspen Hill.
You ever had fractured prune donuts down at the beach?
Mm-hmm.
They actually have
we
some
just
up
did
here
the
now.
Duck donuts. Everybody
They're good,
that.
Too. Fractured prune are spectacular.
They still have the JB donut. Remember Fractured Prune had us design our own donuts?
Yeah, you guys had your own donuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you were in Fairfax.
I think you had all kinds of coconut on it. For some reason, I remember that.
Yeah. I like chocolate and coconut.
My kid gets a bacon donut. That's like something Dukes would like. They have that in common.
Anyway, so we're begging for breakfast items.
Yeah, that's this segment of the show.
You're begging for like a real breakfast. I'm just begging I'll for
eat
junk
a,
food.
I'll eat a donut. I'm just vibing a breakfast
I've even been
sandwich.
Looking for
well, you can send
the AWODs.
You can send them right to 7-Eleven's right across the street.
Yeah. They have send them on a Twinkie run.
We're going to send them anywhere. We're sending them to Bethesda Bagels.
Actually, at the time I drove by the Audi field or whatever the hell it's called, I drove by the 7-Eleven and I went in and got Twinkies. First time I bought Twinkies in a long time. I almost bought the Zingers, but then I opened them up.
Zingers
and
are good.
And I looked at the calories. Because
you're like me.
Three.
You've always been like me. You have a sweet tooth.
Oh, I got a horrific sweet tooth.
Yeah, there used to be a period of time. I don't know how I didn't blow up to be 250 pounds. But when we were working in Fairfax in the mornings, I would stop at the 7-Eleven almost every morning, and I would either get a chocolate donut and a blueberry muffin.
Well, I had one at the math every day.
Or I would get a cinnamon bun, you know, their honey bun version, and a blueberry muffin.
I got a chocolate eclair, you know,
and
an eclair donut.
It would be like $6. I would spend like $6 on breakfast at that 7-Eleven right off of, was that 123?
Right. Eric, well, Jason, you remember at DeMatha, I'm sorry, Matt, you remember at DeMatha where they used to sell those donuts in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
I would get the eclair. It was like a foot-long sub.
Yeah, they were good.
I mean, just crushed that every day.
All right, we got Pete on donuts.
Oh, Pete's there. Happy
Bat
Pete.
Bat signal's up.
Pete!
See, the beautiful thing is, it's amazing you're talking about this because since I'm on the Grant and Danny shift this week, I can go to my local grocery store, Christopher's, which is literally right behind my house.
So great.
A cinnamon roll and a donut for $1.30. So I come out, and what are you talking about donuts? And I've already left the facility. So, Eric, I'm willing to cut you a deal.
Right.
I'm on Route 4.
Right.
I'm going to go as far as Silver Hill Road. I can find a donut joint between here and there. I will buy you a donut.
Hey, Pete, where's the fancy donut place? Occasionally you've brought in some donuts.
Where's that? You bring in a box of donuts.
I feel like it's a fancy joint.
I don't know, dude. At 4 a.m., I'm always stopping at the Dunkin' Donuts in Layson's Corner and just hoping that they don't leave the icing on the side of my bag. We've kind of had a love-hate relationship lately where you eat donuts with your hands and they look at you crazy when you ask for a napkin. So, but that's usually where I go. I got a Dunkin' Donuts that it's right on my way at Layson's Corner at 4 a.m. That I stop at.
Pete,
When we worked in Lanham, I used to run down to the Shoppers Food Warehouse all the time and get a big box of 12 and bring it back.
Well, what's the?
That's the best.
Yeah, Shoppers.
That's the best value in donuts anywhere. A dozen from Shoppers Food
Pete
Warehouse.
Knows well, Pete knows donuts. Pete knows donuts.
Well, they're also huge.
What about that Harris Teeter or whatever the hell it is? It's around the corner. They have good donuts there.
Probably
Navy Yard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Navy Yard. Yes. Yes, I've walked down there in the morning when I have that little break between 9 and 10.
Right.
And they do have a decent setup as well. That's just a heck of a long way to walk at that time of the morning.
Well, why don't you swing by there as your car, Pete?
Pete, Jason brought up a good question. Do you miss doing the cash flash? Would you like to give up your 4 hours with Grant and return to doing the cash flash?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I'm sure my doctor is thrilled because on this particular shift, I can actually take my full complement of blood pressure medication, which probably makes me a healthier person, which I can't on the 5 a.m. shift. So it's probably a lot better without me having to get up to do the cash flash
right
now.
Yeah, it's better for you. Yeah, it's better for you, buddy.
All right, Pete.
All right, text your favorite word to 72881 before 9 a.m. and you can be a winner.
There you go. Got to listen to PJ today.
All right. Thank you, Pete. Whatever you come in with will be awesome. Hopefully it's a couple of them.
Hopefully it's big-ass bacon, egg, and cheese croissant.
Oh, you know the other thing that I've been crushing on vacation? Because my wife got, and then, you know, all the moms got them for all the kids and my nephews and nieces. Cereals. I haven't had cereal in years.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, I've been watching what I've been eating. I've been crushing Captain Crunch. Crushing it. Since my vacation.
It's really
then
good.
I feel like it's somewhat healthy, the frosted mini wheats. Because I feel like underneath the frost, that's healthy.
Yeah, the mini wheat.
The wheat part makes it healthy.
By the way, speaking of food, I mean, we talked about it earlier, but Cakes is in Kiowa for the week, and he's taking pictures of his bologna and cheese sandwiches.
I don't even think he did. Didn't his wife take a picture? How did this work?
Well, yeah, she wanted her attention dollars. She's on vacation. I think she put up a picture of her peanut butter and jelly
and Cakes's bologna and mustard sandwich.
Oh, I thought it was
and
on
said,
his Twitter.
Who's his better?
Well, Cakes retweeted it and was commenting.
She did it. She tweeted it.
Oh, so
he
she's
was tweeting.
Behind.
She's the
I noticed
one.
He's yeah. been tweeting pictures of just. He was at the ocean course and just a picture of sitting at the ocean course.
There's nothing
course
wrong with that. He's documenting his vacation. I got no problem with it. I even have no problem taking pictures of your food.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. The peanut butter jelly looked hurting. They didn't take the jelly or the peanut butter to the edges. And then he did a smiley face on his bologna sandwich.
He did a smiley face with French's mustard.
What is he doing?
I don't have
did
a problem
Did you see the picture?
No, I don't care. To be honest with you.
Do you put a smiley face when you put your ketchup in, or your mustard and your mayonnaise? Do you put two eyeballs in a smiley face? Seriously.
When I see people tweeting their food and saying, look at me, look at my sandwich, I just put them in the loser category.
But,
That's what I do.
I like a good food picture.
I know you do. I know. I put you in that category too.
This is what you're missing on social media, Jason Bishop.
Right, this is so dumb.
But that's attention dollar seeking. It's a nub's lunch.
Yeah.
Like, you're on vacation. Shouldn't you be spoiling yourself a little bit?
No, what they'll do is for lunches, like when you're at the beach, for lunch, you just make sandwiches or whatever, and then maybe you'll have a nice dinner. You go out or you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I would make a turkey and cheese or a tuna. Or...
Put some salad in there.
It's hurting Johnny. Maybe.
I know, white trash.
It's so white trash.
It's so white trash.
A bologna and mustard sandwich.
I love peanut butter and jelly.
Bologna and cheese.
Bologna.
There's not even cheese.
Is there no cheese?
No, it's just mustard.
That's right, because he doesn't like cheese.
So when he makes a sandwich, he just has bologna and bread
and then and a condiment.
Whatever condiment he puts in there.
Yeah, is he 8 years old?
That's the definition of nubs.
Well, Cakes is kind of nubs. He's rich, but he's nubby.
Well, I'm just jealous I'm not at the beach, though.
You think rich people eat like that?
By the way, he already put in his vacation request for next summer.
Well, you know why? Because they're sitting there. They're all figuring out.
Yeah, they're
out
planning
when
a year out. They're planning their same vacation a year out.
What I'm planning.
John, when are we
coming
to Sakiwa next year?
Because you have to find a date. Because he does the same thing I do. So, like, you vacation with 19 people, it's very difficult to get the dates. So he's trying to get a date. We actually have, like, a three-day period where we could get the same exact place, the same date a year from now. But I don't know if I want to stay at the same place. I had a roach in it. Let's go to Billy in Arlington. Billy, what's up?
Guys, don't get carried away on the Captain Crunch and the sugar cereals, man. I read an article.
Don't ruin my day.
What's going to give me cancer?
Guys,
you're going to want to hear this.
All right.
This is serious. All those cereals are linked to having unhealthy amounts of cancer causing weed killer in them.
Really?
And I don't know why are they putting weed killer in a cereal.
You know, you got to think about the other stuff that's in the cereal too. I mean,
because of the oats or whatever, wherever it's grown.
Yeah, it's basically, it says a number of breakfast foods, including granola bars, instant oats, were tested and found to contain potentially dangerous amounts of cancer-linked glyphosate.
Why are you trying to ruin everyone's day?
I mean, come on.
I'm trying to save your life. Hold on.
Everything causes cancer.
So should I not eat oatmeal then? I'm trying to reduce my cholesterol eating two things of oatmeal every day.
I think if you keep it the steel cut, you're okay, my man.
Steel cut?
I wouldn't get that Quaker stuff.
What is steel cut?
Oh, I get Quaker all the time.
You get steel cut. It's like, it's a different way of cutting
probably
the oat.
It probably tastes terrible. It probably tastes like paper.
We're talking about steel cut oats.
Is there steel? I've been literally ODing on oatmeal.
Never heard of steel cut.
All right, coming up next, Craig Hoffman is going to join us. Redskins have a preseason game tonight, 8 o'clock. They take on the Jets. Our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, gives us the latest on The Fan next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.